When I was in first and second grade, I attended the Kennard Elementary School. So we're just talking, what, 5 or 7 miles south of here. It was the old school building. When it was time for recess, we would go outside and play, and we didn't have phones to look at and electronics and all that kind of stuff, but no Chromebooks back then. And we would play games like Red Rover. Red Rover, Red Rover, won't you send someone over? Something like that. Kickball, dodgeball, those were the kinds of games we played at recess. Now, what would happen is there'd be a couple captains, and they would actually then choose teams from all the kids that were out at recess. And the choosing of people that they wanted on their team was based on some athletic ability a lot of times. It was based on popularity in your class, in the school. It was based on maybe were you the best friend or not so much the best friend. And I can tell you this, you might want to get out some tissues as I say this, but I was never picked. Yeah, it's pretty sad. And what would happen is I'd be left and it's like, okay, you guys get Bob. No athletic ability. I wasn't the best friend. I wasn't the popular kid. I was almost never picked for things like that. Well, here's what I want to ask you. Maybe you've experienced not being picked sometime for something. As a kid, as a teenager, as an adult, just some examples. Maybe you are not picked to sit at the popular kids' lunch table at school. Or maybe you were not picked by that person of the opposite sex that you had a crush on. They didn't pick you. Maybe you weren't picked for that promotion that you hoped to get. Or this can happen also. Maybe you weren't picked by your very own spouse who decided to leave the marriage after 25 years. The point is, not being picked, not being chosen, being rejected feels bad. I remember this time of year, there's that cartoon on, it's an animated show of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. I'm sure all of us have seen Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. And you remember the part where they go to the island of the misfit toys. Toys that were rejected by kids because something was missing. Something wasn't quite right. It wasn't perfect. And so they ended up on this island. And even as a kid, sometimes as an adult, if I'm watching that show, it's like almost a little tear comes up. I'm feeling the pain because I guess I've experienced the pain. On the other hand, so you can put your tissues away now, and I'll dry up mine, my tear. On the other hand, maybe you have been chosen, and you've experienced that feeling. And maybe it was to be picked on a team at recess. Maybe it was to be on the student council at school. Maybe it was to be a member. You were picked to be a member of the volunteer fire department in town or the town board. Maybe you have your own business and some customer has picked you to provide their service. And boy, you've experienced that. While the rejection of not being picked feels awful, being picked, being chosen, feels awfully good, does it not? Yeah. So that's the theme of today's message, being chosen. In fact, the title of today's message is Jesus Chooses Us. Jesus Chooses Us. Now let's consider, before I get into the scripture, and the scripture is going to be the next verses in Mark. Remember, we're going through the whole book of Mark, verse by verse, chapter by chapter. And we're going to go, we'll eventually get to the next verses in Mark. And it has to do with being chosen. But I want to start off with this thought. Consider how rare it is to be chosen for certain things. Recess is one thing. I asked myself, I said, I wonder how rare it is for someone to be chosen, for instance, to go from high school football to college football, to the NFL. Because that's all a matter of being chosen. How many high school kids ultimately get to the NFL? Well, I'll tell you in just a minute. But think about what the qualifications are necessary to even get to college or let alone get to the NFL. First of all, to even get into college, you have to have a certain minimum of academic eligibility. And then beyond that, you have to have tremendous athletic ability. Factors also might be in play as to what school you went to. For college, it might be what high school you went to. And those kids from that high school might get chosen more often. Or from the NFL, maybe kids that have a background of a certain college, it's a factor of being chosen. Well, I went to the NCAA.org website and found these numbers. And these are recent from 2019. 1,000,006 eligible high school players in 19 were available for the NCAA to pick players from. 1,000,006. Of the 1,000,006 eligible high school players, only 72,712 were actually chosen. And of the 72,712 that were actually chosen, only 254 kids were picked by the NFL. And so out of nearly a million kids, 254 athletes were chosen. And I thought to myself, how special those 254 must feel if they think about how rare it is, how few get chosen. Well, with this thought this morning of being chosen, I want to look at the next verses in Mark's gospel, because Jesus starts choosing his disciples. And we're going to go to Mark chapter 1, verses 16 through 20, and think about this before we read it. Of all the people in the world that Jesus had to choose from, those 12 disciples that did get picked surely must have felt special. If 254 out of a million football players can feel special, imagine what it must have been like for 12 guys to be picked to be on Jesus' ministry team. The verses today are where Jesus picks the first four. So let me start with Mark chapter 1, 16 through 20. And it says this. One day as Jesus was walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew throwing a net into the water, for they fished for a living. Jesus called them out, "Come follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people." And they left their nets and at once followed him. A little farther up the shore, Jesus saw Zebedee's sons, James and John, and they were in a boat repairing their nets. He called to them at once, and they also followed him, leaving their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men. So Simon, which we're going to find out, he gets his name changed to Peter. So Simon, Peter, Andrew, James, and John were picked to be on Jesus' team. These guys probably didn't even realize the magnitude of what had just happened or what was about to happen. Because here it is. God became flesh. He left heaven and came down to earth. He was the baby in the manger, which we celebrate at this time of the year. And then he lived as a, and the best I can, I'm going to do air quotes here. Jesus lived as a regular guy for three decades on this earth in the person of Jesus. And then what did he do? He chose four very regular guys. Notice no air quotes, because they were very regular guys, to be on his ministry team. How special must they have felt? And I thought to myself, well, wonder what it would be like if God were to choose us. And I have good news. He has chosen us. And that's what the message is going to be about this morning. I'm going to share several verses, and it's going to be about reinforcing this fact that God has already chosen us. So if you feel like you've been rejected by classmates in school, rejected by people you work with, rejected by neighbors, rejected by a spouse, rejected by a son or a daughter. Maybe you've been rejected by a church. Heaven forbid. Just know this, God chooses you. So I'm going to start with Ephesians chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, which say this. Even before he made the world, God loved us, and guess what? And chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his family, bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. Another one in Ephesians, staying in chapter 1 and verse 11 now. Furthermore, because we are united with Christ, we have received an inheritance from God. For, again, he chose us in advance. And he makes everything work out according to his plan. So here's the thought. God did not wait to see what we looked like before he chose us. And you know, somebody like myself, that's a good thing. he may not have chose me based on looks. God did not wait to see how many skills and gifts and abilities we had. And for somebody like myself, that's a good thing. God chose us, he chose me, before he created the world. Now that's just hard to even comprehend. But God chose us before he created the world. That's what Ephesians just told us. And then it also told us that he signed our adoption papers before we were even born. Well, we're going to go to Colossians. And I've got an assistant here to help me go to Colossians. Chapter 3, verse 12. Colossians 3:12. Since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourself with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, and patience. And a verse in 1 Thessalonians 1:4 is going to say something very, very similar. The idea that he chooses us and he loves us. Listen what it says. We know, dear brothers and sisters, that God loves you and what? Has chosen you to be his own people. Another point to make is not only does God choose us, but he loves us. God loves us and he chooses us, whichever way you want to say it. Well, John 15:16 is another verse about him choosing us, and it says this. It says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit. Fruit that remains, so that whatever you ask in my the Father in my name, he will give you. Now this idea that we did not choose God, but he chose us. I'm going to talk a little bit more about that as I end the message here in just a few minutes. One more verse I want to share is in Romans chapter 8, verses 29 and 30. Romans 8, 29 and 30. For God knew his people in advance, we've kind of said that already, and he chose them not just to be on his team, but listen to this, he chose them, he chose you and me to become like his son, like Jesus, so that his son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. You see, when God chooses us and we accept that choice, and I'll get to that in a moment, and we are saved, we're born again, we give our life to Christ, we automatically now are brothers and sisters to Jesus. That's what the scripture is telling us. He is God and he is high and he is all that God is that we can't even imagine. He's hallowed. We're to revere him and have a holy fear of him. And yet at the same time, he's our brother. Well, it goes on to say in verse 30, and having chosen them, he called them to come to him. And having called them, he gave them right standing with him, with himself. And having given them right standing, he gave them his glory. Now, that seemed pretty wordy, so let me just break it down to the points. God starts the choosing. That's one of the points. And then here's what it's that verse in Romans just said. Once he chooses us, then that leads to the progression of him calling us, giving us right standing, and giving us his glory. And I don't think we can even begin to understand what it means when it says he's given us right standing. Because see, we don't have right standing with God. Now, as a baby, as a child, I believe the Bible, while there's not a verse that points to it, I believe the Bible would tell us that God loves children, and he, even if they have a child like mine and they're 50 years old, if something happens to them, I believe God would just take them right to heaven, as well as all the unborn children that have been aborted or died in before they were born. So that said, that alone, we know God's going to take care of all those people. But once we come to an age where we do understand right from wrong, when we come to Jesus, one of the things that happens that verse says is he gives us right standing. You see, when God looks at us, once we've come to Christ, he doesn't see us. He sees Jesus. And when he sees Jesus, he sees someone in right standing. That's powerful stuff. Well, Roy, if you want to go ahead and start choosing the song, or maybe you've chosen it already, we're going to close this up in just a moment here. I want us to consider two things. Consider this first. The disciples were chosen based on what? As we just read the scripture. And if we went to other gospels and see and would read how the gospel, how the disciples were chosen, how were they chosen? First of all, no interviews. He didn't call these guys from the fishing boat into the HR department and say, can you fill out this application? And then we're going to start a process. The managers will come in and ask you some questions. There was no assessment test that he gave these first four apostles. He didn't say, now, depending on how you score here, well, depending on whether you're on my team or not. He didn't ask them to show him their diploma from seminary, acknowledging that they have all this information to be able to be on Jesus's ministry team. And here's the last thing. No prerequisite training, no experience, no education needed to be picked by Jesus, God himself coming in the flesh, to be one of his 12, only 12 disciples to do ministry that would eventually start the church that we know today. So I've asked us to consider how that was for the disciples. Now, one more thing to consider. God has already chosen us to be his son or daughter. And what does he require of us? Did he do an interview before we came to Christ? Did he give us an assessment test before we accepted Jesus? Did he ask you or me for a seminary degree, a diploma? Does he require a training, experience, or education for us to come to him? We all know the answer is no. Imagine, unlike at the recess where they were choosing Red Rover players based on how fast they could run, or how hard they could hit a ball, or whatever the game was, Jesus doesn't ask any of those questions. And yet we've read scripture, and there's plenty more to read that we could read that would say, God chose us. Now here's the thing, and this is where I'm going to end. He's already chosen us. Now it's up to us to choose him. These little kids that are here today, even a baby, babies. One day they're going to have to get to the point where even though God has already chosen them, they'll have to make the decision to choose God. And I went back, as I thought about this, I went back to this whole sports analogy with kids that are in high school and they're deciding where to go to college. And we said that, you know, very few are chosen by the colleges to even play sports. But sometimes what happens is a player is good enough and they've been chosen by multiple teams. And each team wants them to play on at their school. And what will happen is, and you've seen this before, maybe on the news, the sports channel, there'll be a table that the kid is sitting at, and there'll be three hats sitting there, all of different schools. And you're waiting for that kid to decide which school they chose, because they've all schools have chosen them. And the kid takes his hand, and he starts going over each hat, and it looks like he's going to choose this one, and then all of a sudden he picks up this hat and puts it on, and now we know who the kid has chosen. Well, God has put a hat in front of all of us. When we get to the age where we're old enough to choose him, knowing that he's chosen us already, he puts the hat of salvation right on the table in front of us. And he lets us decide. Now, there's no other hat to choose from. It's choose God or not. And then he just patiently waits. And so as I end here today, my question is, I want you to picture that hat on the table in front of you. Many of you, if not all of you, I don't know, many of you will see that table's empty. Why? Because you've already chosen God. You've already put the hat of salvation on, and you're good to go. You're on Jesus' team. He chose you, and you chose him. But some of you, maybe, or someone you know, they're sitting at the table, and the hat is still there. And they haven't made the decision yet. And if you remember, if you were listening to last week's message, we're here or listen to it on Facebook, you'll remember that I said something about repentance was the theme. I said, repentance is available for a limited time only. Well, so is that hat. And it's for the same reason. It's available for as long as we're alive. And I can tell you, I don't know how long I'll be alive. None of us know how long we'll be alive. And so the hat's available for that limited time only. My prayer is that you are wearing it right now. And I know most of you are. Maybe all of you are. But if you aren't, I would pray as we close with this song, and this song will be our closing prayer, that you would reach for the hat and put it on and proudly wear it so that others know what team you're on as well and encourage them to make the choice as well. And if you've already put that hat on, maybe you can be, as we close in this with this song, maybe you can be thinking of someone else that's in that very situation and ask God to help them choose him as well. So Roy, what is the closing song today?
We're going to sing Gentle Shepherd.
Gentle Shepherd.